Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into our podcast-only version of this week. I'm Sean Anderson, the host of CHGO White Sox podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Alongside me is the full CHGO White Sox crew. Got Vinny Duber, the CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber, and Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. We do have some baseball news today to talk about. The Twins are staying busy. We got to give some props to a Chicago legend who has unfortunately left. And we'll talk a little bit about these feisty Twins first. Luis Arraez, Tony La Russa's number one enemy last year in 2022, is being dealt to Miami for starting pitcher Pablo Lopez, and the Twins are also acquiring two prospects with it. Top 100 prospect, shortstop Jose Salas, and outfielder Brian Chirillo. Both of them are teenagers as well. So what did you guys first make of this trade when it broke on Friday?
I thought initially that, like, why are the Twins doing this? Like, he's been in the league for, 4 years? So he's got years left of control. And I was like, for the White Sox, awesome. Like, no more Luis Arraez, who last year tormented them. Of course, Dylan Cease has nightmares about him because he broke up his no-hitter. When I saw it, I was like, awesome. That's a great thing for the White Sox that the Twins are now a little bit worse. But then getting the pitcher back, which they did need starting pitcher sorely, more of a top-of-the-rotation guy in Lopez, I think ultimately it's a wash for everyone, but I, as a White Sox fan who has seen Luis Arraez way too much, praise the trade as a White Sox fan. I love it because only one time can Lopez pitch every fifth game. Luis Arraez used to dominate the White Sox every single time we saw them, and so I'm good with him not being on the team the White Sox have to face 12 times this year.
Yeah, I'm not going to go as far to say I don't get it, and I'm not going to go as far to say that the Twins are worse than they were the other day. You know what I mean? Like, I understand why this trade was made. It doesn't mean that it was good, because they just had the guy who was arguably the best hitter with a capital H, I guess you would say, right? That job of hitting in the American League. Why would you get rid of him? And they just said in signing Carlos Correa the way they just did, they said, we're here to compete. We're here to do this. We're here to win. Why does getting rid of the reigning American League batting champ help you win? Again, I understand why they did the trade. Their pitching staff is much better than it was the other day after this trade. But man, this guy was pretty good. And now he plays for the Miami Marlins. I understand from reading, particularly Dan Hayes over at The Athletic, that the Twins have a lot of prospects on the way to put in their infield. I understand that the Twins were perhaps a little concerned about Luis Arraez's injury history and injury future. Again, somewhat ironic for the team that just signed Carlos Correa, who other teams were very concerned about his injury future.
Another doubling down, basically, on Correa. Like, well, this has to work because, like, Arraez was such an important bat in that lineup. Now it basically puts more pressure on Buxton and Correa, no?
Well, it does, but also, like, you had all of them. Why would you get rid of two of them? Like, it's the thing that me and Herb kept saying about Abreu with the White Sox, right? If, like, okay, I get it. Yeah, you're confident that Eloy Jimenez and Andrew Vaughn and on and on and on and on and on can make up for the absence of Jose Abreu. Or you could have just signed him and you could have had all those guys. I think the same thing about this with the Twins. Herb, you're right. I mean, this is the guy who's going to be in their lineup every single day. This is the guy who just had the highest batting average in the entire American League. Aaron Judge had like the greatest offensive season in the history of baseball. And this is the guy who prevented him from being a Triple Crown winner. It's weird to me. Go ahead and insert your audio drop there, Herb. This is the Twins being weird. Again, I'm not saying it won't work. I'm not saying that they're worse off because of this, but they could have been better, it seems to me, at least their lineup from an everyday standpoint, with a guy who is coming off just a hell of a season. And now he lives in the National League. So I'm sure White Sox pitchers are feeling the same way Herb is and are happy to see him go. Just the Twins being weird. And the thing that I thought of right away was, you know, the big news in the AL Central over the last month, or probably over the entire offseason, is that Carlos Correa came back to the Twins. But he came back to the Twins. It didn't change the AL Central all that much because he was already in the AL Central. This changes the AL Central because arguably one of its top 10 hitters, you know, if not top five, maybe you could argue, is playing in the National League East these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's at least a guarantee now that Correa will be here. I guess that was the whole thing, was just like, even at the trade deadline, we're like, are they even going to keep him? I mean, they could deal him right now and, you know, possibly just sign him again in the offseason. They decided to roll with a Dior bag for the entire rest of the season and now for, what, 6+ more years.
That's not a good nickname. Is that catching on?
He called himself that.
Oh, I know where that comes from. I'm just saying, like, if that's catching on, I would be regretful if I were Carlos Correa, because that's not a catchy nickname. It's not good.
Maybe because now he's a Minnehodian. We make a Dior bag shirt. Yeah, a Dior bag shirt, and we can just clown him. I think the trade's actually good. I once they re-signed Correa, I was worried about the Twins, and this actually makes them me a little bit more worried about them. I hear your points about Arise and how good he was, but also he really didn't have a position. He was like 5'9" playing first base. So I do think that their defense will probably improve. And the thing is like, they have so many different top prospects that play middle infield. Their top two are Brooks Lee and Royce Lewis. Both of those guys are, Royce Lewis has already made it up to the MLB. Brooks Lee has an ETA of 2024. The guy that they just picked up, Salas, is top 100 in Baseball America. I think he's at 93 on their list. That's where Colson Montgomery was to start off last year, I think, at Baseball America, or after, you know, his hot start of the season. But then they also, in the Barrios trade, got Austin Martin, who is kind of a shortstop center fielder. So the thought process is they might not be done. They might have secured a bullpen or secured a rotation of six guys. They have Maeda now, who's coming off Tommy John, who isn't like a guarantee to be good, but he has been good in the past. Malley, who they acquired at the trade deadline. Joe Ryan, who was fantastic for most of the year last year. Sonny Gray, who dominated the White Sox and I think had a sub-4 ERA last year. Or no, that was 2023 projections. I think he was like sub-325 last year. And then Pablo Lopez, who I know most people probably don't recognize just because it's Pablo Lopez, you're a White Sox fan, you're in the American League, but this guy has one of the best changeups in the league. And while his second half stats looked really bad, the first half of 2022 was really good. 2020 was really good. 2021 was really good. And I think the Twins have a rotation that's very similar to Cleveland now. You know, obviously Bieber has that top end, and I think McKenzie has that top end, but the other guys, the other three are just kind of solid. And that's the whole rotation now of the Twins. I think that Lopez has a little bit of top end, not really, but I think Joe Ryan has some top end to him, but they're basically all like really good 2-4 starters. So now they have six of those guys. And if they take some of those prospects and are able to fill out the diamond a little bit with some bats, I still think they could be dangerous. I think that they're really onto something, just because you got a major league player in Lopez back and two more additions. And, you know, they've seemed to stay busy and, you know, they've seemed to be aggressive. So I would be worried about the Twins just because it seems like they have a plan and they're very calculated.
But the problem is, Sean, you trade away a 25-year-old guy, and yes, he doesn't have a necessary position on the Twins. But if you're going to trade this guy away, you got to get a top frontline starter. Like, do we know that Pablo Lopez is a frontline starter. No, we don't. This guy, Luis Arraez, bat the ball skills are best in the league. 100% solid whip percentage, 100% solid K percentage. The expected batting average is a 97th percentile, and he doesn't chase a lot, 78th percentile. This guy is just getting better. He's not even in his prime yet. So, and you had years to do this. Like, we still had two more years at least of him being arbitration eligible. So I just don't get the move for him. Like he was a problem or something like that. I got that you got to give to get something. But as you said, they have a bunch of middle infielders. Royce Lewis, I know he's hurt, but he was a big-time prospect. Other guys could be the package for Pablo Lopez. I'm just thinking they didn't have to give away this player, especially with signing Carlos Correa. I'm sure he's like, what the hell is going on? That was the American League batting champ, and we're just giving him away for a guy who might be good, but we have no guarantees he is good. Now, if they do this for Sandy Alcantara, I'm like, go ahead, Twins, do your thing. I get it. That's a top-line starter, no matter where he's at. Pablo Lopez, I don't know if he's that yet. He was last year for the most part, but if he's coming over to a new league, learning new players, and maybe that changes off, like Lucas Giolito's change off was off last year. It goes and it comes and goes. I just, for me, ultimately, I think the Twins will be the same team, but for, I'm sure, White Sox pitchers, they'll be like, no Luis Arraez? I'll take whatever prospect they have there, because I know one thing, they're not going to be hitting the ball like Luis Arraez. They're not going to be spitting on pitches that I'm pitching that are nasty and deadly, a slider inside, and he's just like, nah, I'm good. That guy is very hard to find, and he's only 25. It's just hard to believe that he is gone. Now, if I'm the White Sox, I'm getting the phone with the Miami Marlins and say, hey, that Luis Arraez sounds good. Can we get Luis Arraez on our team? We need a second baseman.
That's not a bad idea. I don't understand this from the Miami part. Like, what, are you going to build around Luis Arraez? Like, I understand that he's a good hitter, but he's a contact guy, and he's going to play first base. Like, is he going to produce the slugging numbers that first basemen need to produce? And it's like your corner infielders are Gene Segura and Luis Arraez. Like, infielders and outfielders can be running around the damn field. I just don't know if you're going to hit any homers. But
I'll say this about the fish. I'll say this about the fish. I said however many weeks ago or months ago this was, I'm like, what are the Marlins doing? Why do they even exist in the NL East the way it is right now? They're never going to compete against the Braves or the Mets or the Phillies. I still think that's true, but give them credit for trying. They've gone out and they've gotten Luis Arraez. They signed Gene Segura. They've got Chisholm. They've got Avi and Jorge Soler. They got guys, I guess, and they're trying. So I'll go ahead and tip my cap to the fish, because they could have just sat back and been like, all right, well, the best thing we can do is win the third wild card. We might not as even bother trying, but they have tried, and maybe they can win the third wild card. That pitching rotation is supposed to be pretty fearsome, though. Obviously just lost Pablo Lopez, but a lot of young guys down there in Miami.
We'll see. Hey, I'm rooting for Kinging. But you mentioned, Herb, what the White Sox think of it. And Bob Nightingale released his typical Sunday notebook today. And in there, about the Arraez trade, he said, this is from a White Sox official. One White Sox official said, that's very generic, but one White Sox official said, that should be good for a couple of wins. He was such a pain for us. And then one AL executive said, let's see how that lineup fares without Arraez batting leadoff. He helped those guys so much. This game values starting pitchers so much, but is a number four starter more valuable than a great leadoff hitter? Again, I'm just going to push back. They got two prospects along with it. That's why it wasn't Lopez for Arraez.
Sean, isn't that just making a deal to make a deal then, though? I mean, the best case scenario is that those prospects become about as good as Luis Arraez, right?
I guess.
Well, they already have.
I would say that I think Luis Arraez, I think this is a top, percentile season for him. I don't think he's going to have another 130 OPS plus, just because he really doesn't slug above 400. And just having that good of batted ball luck is difficult, especially when you don't hit the ball that hard. That's what was so promising about Yoan Moncada and Tim Anderson with their high BABIPs, was that they were hitting the ball hard as hell. And it's just like, when you're hitting the ball that hard, it's going to just be difficult to make plays on that. Where Arraez, it's a lot of, bloops and loops. And I think that it's very Adam Frazier-esque. Like, he's very good right now, but like, what if this skill diminishes? What is he? He's a 5'9 first baseman. Yeah, he's 25, but I don't know. Like, Royce Lewis, a guy who is a former first rounder, Austin Martin, a former first rounder. Like, I do think that they have better, quote unquote, baseball bodies and baseball, generic or typical baseball, what you look for in a baseball player. So I just think that they are either going to try to boost up that young potential or just try to continue to build out this lineup. I mean, I don't know who they might go for, but Ryan Reynolds would look good in center field, and he would fill off or center or left Deadpool? Or right field. Brian Reynolds, the one from Pittsburgh. I don't know if they have enough to get him, but like he obviously wouldn't play center. He'd play left or right with Buxton in center, but that's a pretty good leadoff guy.
maybe if they sign up for that Mint Mobile thing that he's always hawking, maybe they could get him then.
Again, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Brian.
There's another letter in there. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's a B. B Ryan.
I'll say this, Herb. We've been saying this all offseason, and I think this applies here to the Twins. Okay, sure, Sean. Everything you said might end up being true. But the Minnesota Twins were a third place team last year, and now they don't have the batting champion that they had last year. Chicago White Sox were a 500 team last year, and now they don't have their best hitter, Jose Abreu. You can't look at that and say, oh boy, now that they've gotten rid of the guy who was good, now they can compete. Like, I think the same thing applies there. It doesn't mean they're prevented from everybody else being good and being a competitive team and being a championship contending team. It just right off the bat, if you're trying to compete in 2023, the guy who was your best player in 2022, getting rid of him doesn't seem to be that good of a strategy, but we'll see how it plays out.
But then again, you could argue that they possibly got rid of their best player twice and were lucky to get him back in Carlos Correa. So, I mean, I don't know. Like the White Sox, if we're then comparing, like, they lose Luis Arraez, the White Sox lose Jose Abreu. They filled that hole with Carlos Correa. The White Sox filled it with Andrew Benintendi. I don't know if it's fair to compare it that way, but I just think that
like for a team said, that... The guy just came back.
They already had Carlos Correa.
Yeah, right. No, I know. I was just saying with the batting champion leaving. But again, I just want to say for the team that was in first place at the trade deadline, the Minnesota Twins, if they stay healthy, which is the big if for the White Sox too, they can be dangerous. I just want to give them that credit. Like if the White Sox are going to be dangerous in 2023, I think the Twins definitely have to be dangerous in 2023. I think that they're more of a contender than the Guardians after this move, just because or they could possibly be more of a contender after the Guardians. I'm not sure if they necessarily will be. But I am interested what DraftKings has for the line for the Twins to win the division. What was that?
As that person who talked to Bob Nightingale from the White Sox, do you hear me?
I hear you. I got you.
You're delayed, Herb. You're delayed.
Okay.
You're talking about the person that...
The person who lost... who was talking to Bob Nightingale, who's in the White Sox organization, that guy is truthful. It's like they lost their best player at the top of the top of the lineup. And I'm looking at his contract. He's got three more arbitration eligible years to go. I don't see the where this trade equals why the urgency to trade this player in particular, all the resources that they possibly have. It makes zero sense to me. They could just go on out and sign a pitcher that is like Pablo Lopez. Don't you think?
But
it would have been a much better.
Could they not have gone out and signed a guy that could have been like Luis Arraez? I think that they possibly could have gotten a guy that.
No.
I think we might be overrating Luis Arraez here. They got a guy in Kyle Farmer from the Cincinnati Reds, and I know he's not a batting champion yet, but he's got some underlying metrics that I really do.
Sean,
like.
He won batting title.
He's trash.
So he's trash.
25 years old.
It doesn't mean anything. Andrew Vaughn's 24, and it doesn't mean anything.
More, I'm in.
We'll see. We'll have
people project him to be better than he was because he was 24 and he's just learning the game. This guy's the same thing. He's just learning the game, and he won a batting title on the way of learning the game.
Okay. Hey, maybe I'm underrating Luis Arraez.
I feel much more like... Like, you think the strides that Andrew Vaughn are going to take are going to be exponentially better than what Luis Arraez is? I don't know why. Because this man is already where he's at the same age.
What tools is Arraez going to add? I he's not going to get that much stronger. He's not going to get that much bigger. He's not going to get that much faster. I doubt it. If you want to bet on the future of Vaughn versus Arraez, we'll talk about it off camera.
Off point. Percentage wise, of course, Andrew Vaughn is going to be a better player overall with the numbers. But I'm saying there's room for growth for Luis Arraez too. He's not a finished product. Just because he didn't hit for power, which he had 8 home runs, which is only half of the total where Andrew Vaughn was supposed to be hitting higher than that. This is what I'm talking about. He can get stronger. He can get better. Now he's got the bat to ball skills. Maybe he's like, okay, I know that these pitchers know that I don't strike out that much, so they got to come to me. And maybe he takes a couple months down there in Miami, and he hits 15 home runs. I can see him doing that.
We'll have to wait and see. Hey, that's why they play the games, right? We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll jump into some Lucas Giolito talk here and maybe some more AL Central talk if Herb's feeling feisty about it. We got to let you know about FOCO. Chicago, you've already got the best coverage for your favorite team, so get fitted in the best sports gear around. FOCO has you covered from Soldier Field to the Front Room, north or south side, with hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leaders in sports merch and collectibles. FOCO, F-O-C-O. If you're looking for the perfect gift for the football fan in your life, FOCO's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. So check out FOCO.com or check out the link in the description below. Again, that's F-O-C-O.com. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. Again, at FOCO.com, that's F-O-C-O. Not sure what you guys drank this weekend, gentlemen. Hopefully it was some Goose Island, though. CHGO, supported by Goose Island. Honk, honk. We don't have the drop, so thank you for providing it, Vinny. CHGO is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer since 1988. Their beer roster includes the limited release of the Blackhawks Pale Ale. We enjoyed that when we announced the partnership on Thursday. Hawks and Goose Island have been neighbors for 25 years. The Goose in UC opened for almost 10 years. The Tap Room is a pregame destination for Hawks games and Bulls games. We loved going over to the Tap Room, and they had, you know, even old beers on tap, like the Honkers. I wasn't around for Honkers, but I know Matt Peck was talking up Honkers when they're doing their France show after that win. So shout out to Blackhawks Pale Ale. There's also Bull City 312. That's a limited release. The Bourbon County Stout, the Christmas IPA, the Beer Hug IPA series, the Green Line, and Matilda. Goose Island has two locations that are open and ready to welcome you. Grab a beer from their innovative tanks at the Goose Island Tap Room at 1800 West Fulton, or get a smash burger and fresh beer of the week at the original Clybourne Brewhouse at 1800 North Clybourne. For reservations and pickup, go to gooseisland.com/locations. Goose Island Beer Company. I mean, hey, Herb, just to give you a little bit of credence there too, Arraez slugged 420, Vaughn only 429. So, hey, I mean, Vaughn doesn't even have that much of a leg up there. I just don't understand what Miami's going to do. I mean, look at that Miami roster, and it's like, who is on that team? Do the White Sox now go get John Birdie, or is he their second baseman? Arraez plays first, and we got Gene Segura playing second. Jazz Chisholm apparently playing center field. Like, do the White Sox have anything with the Marlins here to get a second baseman? Should they call up the Marlins about Luis Arraez?
I would. I mean, their team doesn't make sense. As Vinny was saying, they got a bunch of corner outfielders who are oft injured, like Avi Garcia and Jorge Soler. And then they're going to put Jazz Chisholm in center field. He's never played there in the major leagues. That's going to work. Okay, cool. Like you said, with the corner infielders who don't hit a lot of home runs, that's going to be tough. So I'm sure they got Luis Arraez. They were going to trade one of those pitchers in their staff because they're chock full of pitchers to get Luis Arraez. Yeah, they'll play him because he's a good player, but I'm not seeing him being long for the Miami Marlins. With 3 more years left in the deal, arbitration eligible, he's got to be very, very interesting to some other team who need a middle infielder or a DH, a person that just comes off the bench and just hits the ball. You know he's going to do that. So if I was a White Sox, yeah, I would call the Miami Marlins immediately, see what they're talking about. And if the deal is good, there's no way you're turning away from that because it's inexpensive. The player you know can hit. The player has played in your division. There's no downside to Luis Arraez for anybody getting him, not just the White Sox.
I think the Marlins got him. I mean, the Marlins are going to play with this goofy, you know, setup here. This is like when, you know, you've got a team in MVP baseball and you don't care what position they play because you're like, it's on like the rookie or pro setting anyway. What does it matter if I've got Albert Pujols playing center field? At least he gets the hit. Like, I think it's probably that kind of thing where they're just like, all right, we'll see what happens. Hopefully all these guys hit. I mean, hey, the White Sox basically did it with their two corner outfield spots last year. So why can't the Marlins do it everywhere and see what happens in an NL East that they're probably projected to finish no higher than fourth in anyway?
Fourth, I think, is being very generous. I mean, I guess the Nationals still exist.
The Nationals are terrible.
They are terrible. I was thinking that the Marlins would lose the most games. But yeah, no, I mean, they'll probably win at least like 65 or something like that. I mean, they'll be a little bit near that that 100 mark. They'll be fighting with that. But yeah, I think just maybe the White Sox are interested in something now on their bench. John Birdie and Jordan Groshans are currently listed as bench pieces for the Marlins. Groshans, formerly of, I think, a first-rounder with the Blue Jays. He was acquired in a trade at the deadline. But John Birdie stole 41 bags last year, plays second, third, and a little bit of the outfield. 41 bags.
And his birthday OPS is today.
Plus, and his birthday is today. Happy 33rd birthday to John Birdie. A guy from Michigan. I mean, are the White Sox active now with the Twins being active? I guess that's the biggest question the fans want to know. And I think we'll wrap this this discussion up with the Twins reacquiring, I'll use that word, Carlos Correa, and now dealing Luis Arraez and getting Pablo Lopez. Do the White Sox make a move to kind of counter this?
I don't remember what the circumstance was. I want to say it had to be like the trade deadline. I really don't know. It might have been spring training some year. I don't even remember at all. But Rick Hahn once referenced the Hoosiers line. My team is on the floor in talking about the roster that he had and if they were going to make any changes. I honestly think that that's kind of the way they've been operating all offseason, and that's not to minimize the impacts that a guy like Andrew Benintendi or a guy like Mike Clevinger can make. But I think the White Sox very clearly came into this offseason being like, all right, we have all the guys we need. They just need to be better. And I know a lot of fans take umbrage with that approach, but certainly it's one that can work. If the faith that's been placed in Pedro Grifol and the coaching staff is rewarded, you know, and reap some benefits that fans might not be seeing because they haven't played any games yet. So I think that hoping for bounce backs from all these guys sounds silly maybe at first, given how ugly last year was at times. But these are still all those same players who had those high hopes for a reason. And it really looks to me like that probably will be the setup. The only place I see maybe that being a different case is at second base. I think John Birdie, who's apparently only 7 days older than me, makes total sense. you know, because he can do some stuff that the White Sox as a team really struggled to do last year. So why not get a guy who can come in and swipe a whole bunch of bags? Why not get a guy who can come in, you know, and hit for, you know, or get on base at a pretty decent clip. So we'll see if that's something that, you know, materializes. Obviously we're just throwing names at the wall right now, but I do think that second base would be the area they would address, maybe, you know, add another depth arm to the bullpen or the rotation here or there. But I don't think they're looking to play catch up to the Twins, because we just spent the last, what, 3-4 months talking about how they weren't looking to play catch up with the Astros or, you know, any of those contending teams out in the National League either that were making all those moves all winter.
Herbin, I just want to jump in real quick. I did find an article from a 30-year-old Vinny Duber, basically
way
2 years
when?
Ago, January 19, 2021, where the reality, this is Rick Hahn, the reality is that it's always probably somewhere in between those two answers. It's always going to, it's always another move we feel we can make to get us better. We're going to continue to explore to see if something lines up, but there's no guarantee it will. So if this is in fact our group, we feel pretty good about where we sit today. I'm going to err on the side of managing and minimizing expectations. So to quote Hoosiers, our floor is on the team.
Our team is on the floor.
Our team is on the floor. I recently learned what spoonerisms are because I do them basically every time I talk.
I don't know what that is, but
it's where you flip the like it's nobody's perfect or nobody's perfect. See, I do it when I can't do it when I have to.
When you're thinking about it, I got it. Right. But to play like the White Sox and how they're thinking and I can go there and say, okay, the White Sox think all they need is their guys, all of them who played badly in 2022, just play like you usually do. And that's kind of the same thing we're talking about with the Twins and the Guardians. And if you're looking at the White Sox and they're looking at their own staff, like, if our guys play the way they need to play, it doesn't matter what the Twins or the Guardians do. So our team is pretty set. Now we have a good left fielder who also helps us out left in, you know, with left-handed hitting too. So we got better there. And we didn't really have good years from Robert or Tim or Moncada or Grandal, any of these guys. If they all come back to playing like they were, it doesn't matter what the Twins, it doesn't matter what the Guardians do or the Tigers or the Royals. So I can see them saying, our team is there. We felt good about this team last year. They just felt injured. They just had one of their worst years of all their careers. It was collectively bad. Tony La Russa was our manager. They can be feeling like, hey, we changed things by not changing much. And so, yes, I can tell that they probably feel good about the team that they thought was going to be good in 2022 going into 2023. It's kind of like I used to say, you know, when you watch the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote commercials or TV shows, where the Wile E. Coyote almost had the damn Roadrunner so many times. And he changed, like, the Roadrunner just happened to go past the boulder. All he needed to do is change a little bit things about the boulder setup, and he would have killed the Roadrunner. But no, he went all the way different. It's like, I'm changing everything. Since I didn't get him that one time, I'm going to call the Acme people. I'm changing everything I did. The White Sox are not panicking like Wile E. Coyote. They're staying the course and just improving the team. There. See, they're coming to get
it. Wile E. Coyote's coming after you for giving out his secrets, the trade secrets.
I'm loving this Wile E. Coyote analogy you're building here, Herb, mostly because I think that a very good argument could be made that Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner is the funniest thing that there's ever been. That there's never been any comedy better than Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. All great props to the great shows and the great movies and the great stand-up comedians. I think humanity peaked in the comedy department with Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. Got to be honest.
It's hard to top. I mean, nothing's better than fake practical humor or just physical humor too. You know, I mean, that shit's goofy.
And very, very random to pick a coyote and a roadrunner. It must person be in the Southwest when they grew up and saw them all the time.
Maybe. Wasn't that an intergalactic like universe though? I mean, they had Marvin the Martian and everything. I mean, was he also from Mars? Who knows?
You're speculating that the Roadrunner is actually an alien?
No. Herb was like the person who created Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. That they must have grew up in the Southwest. But I was saying, well, didn't they also create Marvin the Martian? So like,
how hey, Area 51. It's all down there.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they're from Roswell specifically. They were affected. We're going to take a quick break here. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Lucas Giolito and get out of here. We do want to let you know about ComEd. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve, save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. And these can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. And each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project cost, potential incentives, and simple paybacks. So don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. That's comed.com/poweringbiz. And if you're ready for a facility assessment, call us at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. Also, got to let you know about DraftKings. Currently, the divisional round is going on. The Bengals and Bills are going on. This is going to probably air to you on Monday, though. But I can let you know in that Bills game, Bills-Bengals game, I won $166. Let's go. Jamar Chase scored the first touchdown, and we'll celebrate a little bit. And you can enjoy the fun. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly when betting with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at even bigger payouts with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Boost your NFL winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code CHGO. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL divisional round and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Finally, got to let you know about Game Time. If you're looking to head out to the Goose Island taproom, over at the United Center, maybe you're going to a Bulls game, maybe you're going to a Blackhawks game, pick up tickets with Game Time. They're the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. If you ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could, the 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert, it is possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on seats you never thought you could buy. You won't find a better deal this season on Blackhawks or Bulls tickets because Game Time was created by the fans for the fans, and that's why they guarantee the lowest price. So if you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the links in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. Also circulating over social media the past couple days, Lucas Giolito shared some video of him throwing. And it was funny just because right when you're talking about Dylan Cease starting his throwing on the mound, it seems like Lucas is ramping up at the same time. Anything you took away, Herb, from what Lucas showed? You excited? You buying into any of the mechanics changes that he ended up talking with Robert Flores on MLB Network? What are you taking away?
Yeah, and in that whole same interview, he pretty much talked and said that 20-pound gain of muscle was a mistake by him. He couldn't really carry that correctly. He couldn't repeat his mechanics correctly at that higher weight. He's a lanky guy, and he wants to, you know, be back to regular weight, where in 2021, he had, if you're looking at his Baseball Savant page, all his meters were in the great year in 2021, even though people thought they didn't have a good year because of the one, you know, Josh Donaldson thing where it's like he lost the sticky stuff. Now he can't pitch. He was actually excellent in 2021. 2022, you saw it. Injured the first game he pitched. Had COVID. The extra weight he had put on his body. Did not have control of his changeup the way he needed to. And with the fastball velocity coming back down to where it was in the 36th percentile, no real difference between the fastball velocity and the changeup. At least not noticeable difference where you're way out in front of the changeup while you're sitting dead red for a fastball. So he was talking just about, you know, working on staying slim, staying more athletic, staying so he can repeat his motion. That is the thing with his changeup fastball combination where he used to do the tunneling up top where you throw that 96 up top and then follow it up with 84, 85 up top too. And they would, you know, like, okay, I can't sit on one pitch elevated. He's not afraid to throw that changeup up top because it has great movement and it has the same velocity and he can repeat that motion as his fastball as he can do with his changeup. We were talking the other day about Dylan Cease not be able to do that. He has to slow his body down totally to throw the changeup, which is a tell to the hitter. Lucas has had the ability and he's a master at being knowing his body and scientifically how it looks coming out of his hand. You know, because the extension is still up there in the top 90th percentile. And so he knows that his changeup just wasn't getting the same, you know, to a left-handed floating away from him and into a right-hander floating towards him. And so he's working on things like that. And I saw the miles per hour. It's like an 86 on that one pitch at Chapman Institute, wherever he's working out on Irvine. But I have nothing but faith in what Lucas is doing in the offseason and also this was a bad year. I know White Sox fans are wanting to trade him. He sucks. He's this, that, and the other. The man was hurt. The man had a lot of excuses that went away from him in 2022. I think he'll get back to 2021, if not 2019, Lucas Giolito, and be dominant once again.
And just to your point, too, like last year in spring training, he was hitting like 97, 98 with the added muscle. That was a bad thing. So just what this number is right now in January 22nd does not matter that he's throwing 89 or whatever in a bullpen session working on mechanics.
He's been through this before. I mean, I think that's why you've got to have some confidence in Lucas's ability to get back to where he's been before, because I mean, it's not like we saw him have that worst pitcher in baseball season and then became an all-star and then was like, you know, pinging back and forth between extremes. I mean, 2021, he finished in the top 11 of the Cy Young each one of those years. I mean, he had three really, really good years in a row. Obviously, some huge moments to go along with it. But that's some sustained success right there. And so, you know, he lost it last year. There's no doubt about it. And he'll be the first person to tell you that he spent all summer looking for it, looking to get back on track. Herb, you went through a number of the reasons why, and there were a number of reasons. It wasn't just one thing. He's done this before where he's transformed himself over an offseason, and now he doesn't even have to transform himself into something he's never been before like he did between 18 and 19. He needs to just go back to what he was doing just the year before. So he's got the perfect person there to work with him and Ethan Katz to make sure he can get back to what he was doing, because Ethan Katz was the guy who helped him out of this rut the last time he had one of these. So just the experience of not only having success, but being able to go from a severe lack of success to that success, I think is really going to help him out. And that's got to give everybody who's rooting for this team and rooting for this player confidence that it's going to, that it has a good chance of happening.
Yeah. I think that he has the most like fair excuses out of all of the pitchers or hitters that had something go wrong in 2022. You talk about the mechanics just being difficult to line up. That was something that took Randy Johnson forever to figure out. That's why he wasn't good. That's why he was traded to team after team after team. Not saying that Randy Johnson and Lucas Giolito are similar, just saying that they're both very tall. And you know, it took Nolan Ryan watching Randy Johnson pitch to be like, hey, fix this. And then he fixed him. You know, it could be something very, very small. And, you know, obviously we saw that fix happen with Ethan Katz and Lucas Giolito when he was the worst pitcher in baseball. So I do think that that is something that is very, very fixable. And then he talks about that injury, like your core is what you need to pitch. And then he immediately went out and injured his core. So then his core wasn't lining up. His mechanics weren't lining up. Everything was off. So if everything could come together and he's sitting 93, 94 for most of his starts, I think that he will definitely be around a 350 ERA or below. Like, I just think that he has a good enough repertoire to make it work as long as the mechanics and everything is in line. If it's not, it might be another bad season, because it's difficult for people who are that tall and that lanky to have everything in line. But we see the top end of Lucas Giolito, and you've gotten two seasons from him, three seasons really, 2020, 2021, and 2019, where he's been great. So a little blip, hopefully, and he'll be able to bounce back. And if they have Dylan Cease, Lance Lynn, and Lucas Giolito firing on all cylinders, I think things will be pretty good for the White Sox in 2020.
Remember where that injury happened. It happened the first game of the season. I'm sure his body was like, okay, this is not natural for me to have extra weight on me. And so it's harder. And he's throwing live bullets that really matter in that first game. And he goes out of the game with that injury. So that probably threw his whole program off. All the offseason work he did, it got thrown away. And then having COVID right after that probably also took him a long time to get back to where he needed to be, because we've seen glimpses of the old Lucas from time to time in 2022, but not enough. So I am very confident with the working with Ethan Katz and the pitcher that Lucas Giolito is. He's such a thinker. He's such a tinkerer with his own mechanics. I think that once he's off, he can get right back on, because we've seen so many times where early in the game, giving up rocket shots, home runs, and then in that same game, adjusting and then shutting the team out for the rest of the game. So I am not anywhere worried about Lucas Giolito when all these people are calling for him to leave the team. Like, no, that's the guy you need on your team. That's the leader that you need on the team to show other players where, like, when things go wrong, I can still get out of it. I don't have to be panicked about it and do something and execute my pitches, and still people can't hit my fastball, my curveball. He still was at 67th percentile K rate last year, so he's still got it. It's somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think so too, and we'll just have to wait and see. I'm ready for baseball to start, I'll be honest, but I think what we're about, I mean, less than a month away from pitchers training reporting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, about, like,
that is correct.
Valentine's Day.
Getting close. Yeah. Getting close, friends. All right. Very, very exciting stuff. And hopefully, you know, it's sooner than we think. Do you just want to give one final note as we are wrapping up here to our former family, Herb, of Odyssey? XRT suffered a loss in their family. Lynn Bramer fought cancer as long as he could and passed away early this morning peacefully with his wife and son by his side. And tomorrow a.m. at 10 a.m., the XRT family will celebrate his incredible life of their best friend in the whole wide world. And this is the words from Terry Hemmert of XRT. Herb, I know you worked there for a very long time. You knew Lynn. Always on Pizza Friday was one of the guys to find.
Yeah, he was the guy. Like, I remember specifically, I was just upstairs in the commissary. The score was on 9th floor. XRT and all the rest of stations were like on the 10th floor. So we had to go upstairs to get food and stuff. And so during the pandemic, I think it was like May, it was me, Tanny, and Lynn Bramer. And so I went upstairs just to get some food. And he's like, hey, man, it's like a Tuesday. He's like, you want pizza on Friday? Because he was trying to just break the monotony of going to work, going home, being scared, you know, the whole height of the pandemic type of thing. I was like, hell yeah, Lynn Bramer. I'm in for it. Like, you're asking me. And he paid for pizza for the first, like, seven times we did Pizza Friday. And then we would just sit down having conversations about stuff, you know, baseball, him growing up in New York, him falling in love with the Cubs when he would watch WGN because that was the team that was on. And then him moving here, and then his love of music is unparalleled. You know, that man, you know, loved music, and he loved people around him. And that's the sign that the thing that's about everybody's best friend. It's kind of like Ed Farmer. Like, everybody had an individual relationship with Lynn Bramer, and everybody felt like, man, Lynn really cares about me. And same with me. If you ask anybody else who's dealt with Lynn numerous times, you've felt the same way. So very sad that he is not with us anymore, but I'm glad that he is not suffering anymore either. And his legacy will live on throughout the city and throughout the world, because there's a lot of people, not just people at the Score or XRT or the Odyssey family, but musicians, record execs, all those people will be sorely missed, missing Lynn Bramer, because he left a huge impact in this city and on this world.
Yeah, wonderfully said. He was an icon when I worked there. Just seeing him in the hallways, like, always made me like, oh my God, Lynn Bramer. Like, it was like seeing a pop star. And he always had time for you. Like, I mean, just truly the sweetest person to ever be around. So warm and just infectious. And yeah, a horrible loss for the Odyssey family. Obviously, our thoughts go out to him. But yeah, I mean, just such a strong connection to music in this city, you know. People idolize him. I mean, he's fantastic. And I mean, even, you know, recently with The Bear, they opened up with Lynn Bramer's voice, you know, the FX show. Just really an important person in Chicago, and he will be sorely, sorely missed. Anyways, it's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. We will talk to you tomorrow at 4 p.m., Monday, 4 p.m. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at ActorNRoll23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. We will talk to you tomorrow. Go Sox.